Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 22. Very thankful to be part of this church. Very thankful to be a part of this church. There's a lot of great things happening in the life of our church. There's a lot of things that you don't realize that I learned from a lot of you. I won't call by name, but it's a lot of servants in this church. There's a servant in this church that got a phone call last night at 9 o'clock to tell them that we wanted to have communion today, and we have communion today due to the slackness of the pastor who forgot to call them all week. But I want that person to know I'm very thankful for them. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 says there, and immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land and battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "Oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Now, this is a passage that, if you've been in church, you've probably heard this passage before. Right? You've probably heard this passage. And sometimes that's a little challenge to preach passages that we already know and we've heard. But this is where we come to in the Gospel of Matthew, is where we're looking at today. The context, if you remember from weeks past, last week, we had the situation where Jesus heard about John the Baptist being beheaded, and there was a crowd there, and Jesus fed, through the disciples, fed more than 5,000. And that's right where it leads up to verse 22. There he says, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. We read in the other accounts in the Gospel of John, we read that the multitude there, he had fed them, and now they were ready to make him king. They were ready to lead a revolt and make him king. And so Jesus, realizing the situation, that was not what he was there for, and it was not the time, he realized he needed it. So he was a great crowd disperser. He makes his disciples get in the boat because they probably were going to go along with the crowd. We don't know, but he gets them gone, and then he disperses the crowd, right? So as we read this passage today, the question becomes, what do we learn about Jesus, and what do we learn about ourselves, right? What do we learn about Jesus? What do we learn about ourselves? Well, the first thing we see that I think we see true here is that following Christ does not always mean the waters are going to be smooth. Following Christ does not always mean the waters are going to be smooth, that life's going to be easy. Jesus says there in verse 22, he made the disciples get into the boat. The word "made" there, they were not interested in it. He had to compel them to get in the boat. Now they listened and they got in the boat, and he told them to go to the other side. And then we see in verse 24, the boat was a long way out, and the Gospel of Mark, it says it was in the middle of the lake. They were a long way out, and they were battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So you get the picture. They listened to Jesus. They got into the boat. They went out, and guess what happened? A storm came along. Now hear this. Sometimes, we want to make the connection to our life. Sometimes you are in a storm in life and it is your own doing. Amen? Sometimes storms come because you are the cause. Right? If we need an example of this, look back in your Bible to Jonah, right? Do you remember? There was a storm in the book of Jonah, right? Everybody remember that story? A big storm, and it was so bad that they start throwing stuff overboard. And finally, Jonah says, you have to throw me in the water. That's the solution. And why was the storm there? Because Jonah was there. And why was Jonah there? Because he disobeyed God, and God was coming to get his attention, right? So sometimes in life, storms are your own fault. And some of us in the room need to hear this, because we are professional blamers. Amen? We are professional blamers. We can look around and blame everyone else for what's going on in our life. And listen, if you are the common denominator, there's a good chance it might just be you. If you are on your 15th job and you say, man, I've just had every boss I've had was just terrible, I'm going to venture out on a limb and say the common denominator is you. There might need to be a change right there, right? If you're looking around at all the relationships you're in and you say, all these people just don't get it. They're all just crazy. If all of them are, there might be a chance you're the one, right? I'm just throwing that out there. Like, we want to blame everyone else. Sometimes it's us. But hear this. You got to hear this today. Not every storm is a cause of your decision. Some of them are, but not every storm in life is a cause. When you go to the doctor and they come back with that report and it has the C word in it, cancer, it may not be a one-to-one correlation because you did something, now you have cancer. There's a lot of things that happen in life that aren't actually a result of something that I did. And listen, God sometimes uses storms to teach us about faith. He told the disciples to go get in the boat. They were obedient. They were right where God called them to be, and the waters got rough. And it says the waves battered them. This was not just a little storm. They were struggling. They were getting beaten around. It says the wind, in NAS it says the wind was contrary. It was against them. And some of us in the room, you know what this is like because you feel like life is just tossing and turning you and the wind is against you and things keep knocking you down and you're like, what did I do? And there's no answer. And what's our normal response when it gets that way? Row, row, row your boat back to shore. Amen? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm going back, right? But I don't think they could even go back. It was so bad. God had put them in a place. Guess what? So they could not. Listen, these were fishermen. These were professionals. They knew how to row a boat. They knew how to navigate a storm. And yet this one was too great for me. Hear me. God often puts you in a place that you cannot handle, you cannot fix it, because He wants to teach you a lesson about faith. Because if you can handle it, then do you need God? If you can fix it, do you need God? He will put you in that spot to get your attention, to break you, to show you who He really is. And we don't sign up for that, do we? 7-day cruise ship, and guess what? It's going to be terrible. Who's signing up for that? Who's paying money for that? Nobody. He puts you there to teach you. But notice, he sent them off, but guess what he was doing? This is, don't miss this. Verse 23, after he had sent the multitudes away, including the disciples, Jesus went up to the mountain by himself to what? To pray. And it does not tell us what he was praying about, but I have a good indication that part of that prayer was not just about him connecting with the Father, which it was, but I have a good idea that some of that prayer was for the very knuckleheads he'd sent out on the boat. Amen? Hear this. Scripture tells us, in Romans it tells us that Jesus intercedes on our behalf right now at the right hand of the Father. He is praying for you. He has not put you in a storm that he doesn't know about, and he has not put you in a storm that he is not praying you through. And that should get you really excited today. That he has not forgot you or forsaken you, that he knows exactly where you are this morning and what you are going through. And more than that, some of it is your own doing, or maybe he has put you there, but he has not left you. He is praying, interceding on your behalf to the Father, saying, that is mine, he belongs to me, he's ours, he's with us. And it doesn't matter what the devil says about you. It doesn't matter what others say about you. Jesus is saying, they belong to me if you've put your faith in him. The second thing we see is that when Jesus is around, fear goes away, even if it's a bad storm. When Jesus is around, fear goes away. Even if it's a bad storm, his presence makes all the difference in the world. You see it there in verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, which is very early morning. They've been out there a while. They've been struggling for a while. It says there, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, if you've read this and heard this story a lot, you just get kind of used to this. But listen, he was walking on the sea. I've tried this in a swimming pool, and it did not work. It didn't matter if I went slow or fast. It did not work. I have yet to accomplish this. The man, Jesus, man, God in the flesh, walking on the sea. This is a straight-up miracle. No way I can explain this to you, no way to talk around it, no way to prove it to you, except the Word says it, that Jesus walked on the water. And how am I convinced that it's true? Because of the response of the disciples when they saw it. Professional fishermen, they did not see guys walking by on the water, right? Not normal. And so when they see him, their response was they got really afraid and they said, it is a ghost. A little side note, this is the only time, in this account, it's the only time in Scripture that anything's ever said about ghosts. So if you're like into those big ghost shows, and if you think Cartlidge Creek is haunted by ghosts, I just want to tell you, Scripture doesn't talk about ghosts much. So you got no backing on that one, all right? Anyway, that's a side note. They say it's a ghost and they are afraid. They know they don't know how to make sense of this. Listen, but it says there that Jesus came to them. Verse 25, he came to them. Listen, in your storm, when you are struggling, when you are knocked down, Jesus comes to you. And God's people better say amen on that. That is amazing that God comes to you when you are in your biggest struggle. He didn't leave you out there just to flounder around. He comes to you, and he can come any way he wants to. The problem is that we put him in a box, and we don't expect him to come, and we just miss him when he does come, right? We never seen anybody walk on water. He wouldn't do that. He comes walking on the water, and they don't see it as Jesus. They think it's a ghost, and they're even more afraid. So now just think where they're at. They're in the water. They're getting knocked around. They're already afraid because of the water. Now a ghost is coming by. This is like top 10 bad days. But look, when they are afraid in the midst of the storm, it says, verse 27, NAS says, but, and then the second word is what? Immediately. Everybody say immediately. At just the right time, he comes, right? He doesn't wait too long. He doesn't wait too late. But he sees they're afraid, and immediately he steps in and he speaks to them and he says, take courage. You ever had somebody tell you don't be afraid? Did it help you? Depends on situation, right? You're about to go into surgery. Somebody's sitting there in the waiting room with you, hey, don't be afraid. That didn't help me a bit. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. If you ever come to see me and I'm about to have surgery and you tell me not to be afraid, It doesn't, unless you've had that surgery, I might listen to you then. But if you hadn't had that surgery, I don't want it. It's like me looking at my wife before she gave birth and say, hey, don't worry about it, honey. It's going to be all right. Yeah, I learned not to do that, right? It's not going to help her. Like, what have I got to say about that, you know? But listen, when Jesus says it, the guy walking on the water, the guy that's in control of all of this stuff, and he walks up and says, take courage, then I'm going to listen. And guess why? Because he says, it is I. And understand the way that's worded, the way he said that, for every Jew that's reading the Gospel of Matthew, which is who it was written for, when they read that, in their mind, they're immediately going to go back to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses was afraid and he says, God tells Moses to go to the Israelites. And he says, well, who do I say sent me? And he says, tell them that I am has sent you. The God who is, the God who always has been, always will be, the God who's everything that you need, I am. And when Jesus says, it is I, it's the same phrase, same idea. I am here, all that you need, all that you want, I'm right here. Listen, he doesn't just take the storm away. He comes and meets you in the storm so that you will trust him. We're praying, God, take the storm away. And maybe we need to be looking around and seeing, where's Jesus in this storm? Right there in the midst with him, he says, I am, do not be afraid. Now, when we read this story, a lot of times we jump right down. We skip all that stuff, and we jump right down to Peter. And what do we say? Man, Peter tried. Well, why did he doubt? Listen, there's a lot to learn from Peter, but hear this. If I was going to title this sermon, you know what I would title it? Why are you still in the boat? That's what the title is. Why are you still in the boat? They're all disciples are on this boat. Jesus comes walking by. The storm's going crazy. He says to them, it's me. It's me. Take courage. Don't be afraid. And Peter, now this is Peter. Peter can't leave it alone, right? Peter, just the ambitious Peter, wants to react. And I love this about him. He says, if it's you, Lord, command me to come on the water. In this story, we like to see ourselves in Bible stories. And I tend to, you know, I'm Jesus. I'm walking on the water, right? Or at best, I'm Peter. I'm like, hey, if it's you, Lord, I'm come. But you know who we probably are most of the time? We're the disciples in the boat. Now, it doesn't tell us what they say, but you can hear it. Because if they were good Baptists, what would they be saying right now? You dummy. What are you doing? Oh, gosh. What is he thinking? And he steps out on the water. Are they cheering when he's walking on the water? No, they're just standing there. And he starts to sink. And what are they doing? I told you. Dummy, I told you to stay in the boat. See, I knew that was going to happen to him. He never listens to us. He always just does what he wants to do. He's just overzealous for Jesus. Gosh, if he would just stay in the boat, everything would be okay. Listen, the positive about Peter is that he has enough faith to step out of the boat. Do you know that all I know in all of the history of mankind has only been recorded 2 men to walk on water? Jesus and Peter. That's pretty good company, if you ask me. Granted, it may not have been very long, but he's in that list, right? He walked on water. Why? Because he stepped out by faith. And it says, Jesus says, come, and he steps out by faith, and he walked. So before we start bashing him and saying, where was it? Listen, he got out of the boat. The other disciples stayed in the boat. They played it safe. And we'll come back to that in a second. Peter steps out and starts walking on the water. He's attempting something great for God, but then something happens, right? We know the story, right? It says, verse 30, that word, but. It was going great. He stepped out by faith, but seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. What happened? He stepped out towards Jesus, started walking on water, and then what happened? He lost focus. Because the waves got big and the wind was crazy. He started looking at his circumstance instead of looking at Jesus and became afraid. And listen, fear and faith have a hard time coinciding. They have a hard time being present together. Fear blinds the eyes of faith. Fear gets us distracted. Fear comes from looking at what's present and the circumstances around us and what we can't do. Faith looks at what Jesus can do. Do I need to say that again? Fear looks at what we can't do, and faith looks at what Jesus can do. So the question this morning, believers in Christ, hear me. Some of you have stepped out by faith at some point in your life. You were excited about Jesus, and the waves came, and you got knocked down, and you just backed up and said no. And now, you're back in the boat playing it safe. And you're just doing life. You're just making it. You're not terrible. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And if we were to ask honestly today, are you having abundant life? One of my favorite movies, a quote from it, he says, every man dies, but not every man really lives. You really living the abundant, faith-filled life? Are you attempting great things for God and experiencing the greatness of God in your life? Or are you just kind of going along with the waves? In the boat, saved. The other disciples, they stayed in the boat. They never walked on water, ever. They never experienced it. Now we see, I mean, Peter failed, right? In one sense, he failed, but in another sense, he attempted. Look what Jesus says to him. He cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately, there's that word again, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. The beautiful picture that God is always there. When we fall, he is always there. Psalmist says, when I fell, he held my right hand and lifted me up. It says he reached out and grabbed him and lifted him up, and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That doubt, where doubt means looking both directions. Why did you waver? But listen what he says to him. Oh, you of what? Little faith. Hear me. I'd rather be a person of little faith than no faith. Amen? Little faith got him walking on water. Now he started to sink. But little faith helped him to experience the power of Christ and to be saved by the hand of Christ in the midst of the storm. No faith kept me in the boat. So this morning the question is, are you a person of even little faith, or are you just riding in the boat? Why are you still in the boat? Listen, God has called you. If he has saved you, he has called you to live a life by faith, which means it is a life that you can't fully explain, a life that you don't have all the answers, that you don't know how you're going to pay for it, you don't know how he's going to work it out, but you are obedient, you are listening, and you are stepping out to attempt great things for God. And there may come some failures along the way, but guess what? He's going to be there to hold your hand and pick you back up and teach you through it. And I would rather live that life than the safe, comfortable life of never experiencing the power of Christ. Amen. Now hear me. What that looks like for you today may be different than every other person in this room. And I cannot tell you the specific application for your life. If I could, well, we'd be here till 2 p.m. because I'd have to go around the room and say, all right, Don, here's where you're not living by faith. And then we'll go, Bonnie, here's where you need to step out by faith. And Sandy, here's where you're riding in the boat. And John, I mean, we'd be here all day. Now, it might be interesting to hear where everybody else is, right? Be like, oh, man, I knew he should be doing that. But this is between you and God. Listen. God has designed you. If he has saved you, he has gifted you, he has made you special, created you the way you are. You don't need to try to be like somebody else. You don't need to be trying to do what they do. But listen, he has called you to step out by faith. And it may be, you may know, you may be sitting here this morning, know exactly what God wants you to do, and you have not done it. And I am telling you, he is trying to get your attention because he wants to live through you so you can experience his power. And it may scare you to death, but listen, that's a great place to be. Because then you experience the power of God. You may be here this morning and say, I don't know, like I'm just doing life and I don't really know what God wants me to do. And then my question for you is, have you even asked him lately? Or are you so busy doing what you want to do that you haven't even listened or made time for God? He may be telling you to radically alter your life. He may be telling you just to adjust one notch. He may be asking you to do stuff with your money that you think is absolutely ridiculous. But when I read through Scripture, I read stories of people that do absolutely ridiculous stuff for God. I read a story about a man named Noah that built a boat in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely ridiculous. And it took him years. I read a story about a man named Abraham that God tells him to leave his country and doesn't tell him where he's going. You gonna do that? You can come in next week and say, tell your Sunday school class, hey guys, I won't be here next week. Where are you going? I don't know. God just told me to go. Just going. I mean, we can keep going throughout Scripture where He tells people to do. He tells Daniel not to eat what the king provides. He gets thrown in a lion's den, for goodness sake. Tells these same disciples, listen, he is preparing them for what he's going to do. If you know the context here, we just talked about it. They fed 5,000, and then a storm came, and they experienced the power of God. You know what happens after he rises from the dead and ascends to the Father? You go over to the book of Acts, and you start reading, and it says that the Lord starts blessing and working, and they add to their number about 5,000, right? You remember that? The church is just booming, and it's growing, and guess what happens next? A storm comes. It's called persecution, and they kill Stephen, and they get spread out. But guess what? They experience the power of God through that because they don't give up. They learn from this example. They don't give up. They keep pushing forward even though it got tough, and they experience the power of God changing lives around them. I wish I could answer it for you today. What's the step for you? But listen, I know this. If you know Christ, He is calling you to walk by faith. Which means there's a step. And you say, well, I am retired and there's no more walking on water for me. That's for the young people to do. I'm supposed to kick back. Listen, find me in Scripture. It says that you're supposed to take a break from God once you retire. I don't know what it looks like. It may not be you walking on water, but it may be you on the side cheering Peter walking on the water. It's something. And all of us, each, we're called to live by faith. The response that happens, listen what happens in verse 32. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. The difference, see, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, we looked at this story, right? They were in a storm already once. You remember that? Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they were in a storm, and they wake Jesus up, and he looks at them again and says, where's your faith? And with a word, he calms the waters. And you remember their response? Their response back then was, who is this man that he can calm the seas? Who is this man? Now, you fast forward, he comes strolling on the water. Peter takes a swim, and he pulls him out, and he gets in the boat, and everything's calm again. And their response this time was, this is God's son. They're making progress, right? Not as fast as we want, but they're making progress. This is God's son. They get it. They worship him. Listen, if you step out by faith, your faith will be stretched. Your relationship with God will grow deeper, and it will cause you to worship him more because you will see more clearly who he is. Our teams that are going to Boston and Canada, they have no clue what's in store for them. They think they know. Some of us that have gone, we think we might know a little bit better. We have no clue who we're going to meet. We have no clue what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of it. Because they're stepping out by faith, and God's going to do something to honor that step of faith and bless, and they're going to experience the power of God in ways that they can't even imagine right now. And when they come back, the prayer is that they are different than when they boarded the plane to go. And the hope is that when they get back here, it rubs off to all of us here so that we are a different church by the end of July than we were at the beginning of July. But that's supposed to be our life every day. Walking by faith, it makes my relationship with God grow stronger. If I am doing, listen, if you just think back, and we'll close with this. I want you to think back to this past week. What did you attempt this past week that you didn't feel like you could do yourself? I want you to think real quick. What did you attempt this past week that was beyond your ability? If you've been working the same job for a while, it's easy to, because you've done it before, it's easy just to go in and do it, right? Is there anything that you prayed about, that you trusted God with, that you expected God to do, that was beyond your ability this past week? And I can tell you, if you have an answer yes to that question, then I have a good indication. Now, your week may have not gone perfect, it may not have been great, but I'm gonna guess that you experienced the presence of God this past week. If your answer is no to that question, then there's a good chance that your spiritual life didn't grow much this past week. Listen, that's what we're aiming for. When you step out by faith, that's when you experience the walking on water, powerful presence of Jesus Christ. And when you experience that, that's what he's talking about, the abundant life. It's not just getting by. It's not just making it to the next weekend. It's not just making it through this day. It's the presence and power of Christ each moment. Where are you at in that? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are patient with us when we don't walk by faith and we don't step out by faith and when we do just kind of get by and we do plateau and level off. Lord, I'm thankful that you are patient with us, but that you keep pushing us, Lord. And I pray for each one of us in this room. In this moment, God, you would show us at least one area, God, in our life that we need to trust you by faith. Maybe it's an area we're struggling with, an area that we're trying to control, an area we're worried about. God, you know our lives. God, in this moment, open our eyes to see it. Tell us the steps to take, Lord, that we would just be obedient. And Lord, I pray that you would show up and show out, God, that we would be blown away with how amazing you are. God, that when we come back in here next week, Lord, that we come back in here different already because we have experienced your presence and the power of your presence this past week to attempt things that we could not do on our own, to see you work in ways that we could not have even guessed, and to be blown away with how amazing you are. God, I pray that you would stir that in us, work it in us this week, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. You alone are worthy, God. Help us. When we are fearful, when we are doubting, Lord, help us, meet us in that moment. For those in the room that feel like they're in the midst of the storm right now, God, I pray that you would show them where you're at in that storm, that you haven't forgotten them or forsaken them, that you're right there with them, ready to hold their hand. God, we need you to work, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing today, if you'll stand. This is our time of invitation as well. So maybe singing is your response to God to say, Lord, here I am. All I am, here I am, is yours. And I'm going to respond to you in worship because you're maybe you're experiencing that. If there's an area in your life that you know right now that God has put on your heart, it's clear, this is the area you need to trust him in, then maybe you don't need to sing. Maybe you need to spend this time just doing business with God. And the altar's open. You can come cry out to him. But we're inviting you to respond one way or the other. Let's worship. Let's respond. As he leads, you reply.